Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piper, and I'm delighted to give you a short talk today, and I'll tell you what it's about in a second, and then guide us through a 10-minute practice. But first, thank you so much for those of you who signed up for and watched any or all of the recent series on the Noble Eightfold Path, right view, right intention, right speech, and so on. If you didn't hear those things and you want to, great, there'll be links in here that will enable you to. But I received such wonderful feedback from you. I'm grateful and inspired to continue to offer something. So I'm going to keep sending you these videos every 2 weeks. And if you know someone who might also benefit from them, please feel free to share. As you know, they're free, and you're welcome to share them with anyone you want. One of the most interesting things that I've heard from you all, and I've heard in general over my 25 years as a student of meditation and now 12 as a teacher of meditation, is that unexpected things happen from our meditation practice. So we all come to it for some really good and appropriate reason. I want to get a better night's sleep. I need help managing pain. I want to be better at my work, I want to be more patient. All of those things are completely commendable and appropriate. And meditation practice, research has proven, can help you with those things. However, it throws things into the mix that we might not expect. And I find that particularly fascinating. And that is our topic for today. In addition to helping us improve this or become better at that, there's something about our practice that softens us, that brings a wall down that we may have assembled brick by brick around our hearts. And when that wall starts to come down, which it does by the simple gesture of friendship, of sitting with yourself as you are, which is another way of saying meditation practice, that simple gesture plants seeds of vulnerability, compassion, wisdom, and I would say fearlessness. While it makes us more vulnerable, it seems to also make us more brave. And I find that very interesting myself. If we continue our meditation practice purely as a means of self-help, everyone can do that. That's not a problem. It will help yourself. But at some point, this magic quality of the practice to introduce transformational possibilities that we had not figured on diminishes. That was a long sentence. A shorter way of saying it is, if we just try to use our practice to get somewhere, the magic drains. If we approach our practice as a way of discovering something, of exploring something, of resting in something unknown, well, it accelerates, it amplifies, it starts to pay more attention to us. So how do we do this practice, which is the same thing, no matter what our intention? You sit down, you place your attention on the breath, things arise, no problem. You come back. Basically, that's it. I'll give the full instruction in a moment. How do we do that in such a way that it feeds the possibilities for transformation beyond conventional self-help? That's a really good question, Susan. So I'll tell you a little story in answer. And if you want to skip ahead to the meditation, just be my guest. So some years ago, 15 years ago maybe, I was at a retreat center back in the day when such things happened. And some classical musicians were also there for the first time, and they fell in love with this retreat center, and they wanted to create a recording to give to the retreat center to sell and then keep the proceeds. And these were world-class classical musicians. One of them had just won the Pablo Casals competition, a cello player, clearly, and he was traveling with Pablo Casals' cello. So this was like a really beautiful offer that they made. So somehow I was enlisted to create the recording, to get the recording, the mobile recording unit there, and to, I don't know what, get the equipment, whatever. I don't know why, but they asked me and I said yes. And we determined that the best place to make this recording was on the third floor of a retreat hall, for lack of a better phrase, that was off limits to everyone except people who did a particular spiritual practice, which none of us did. Okay, but those are the best acoustics. So we asked permission to use this space and we got permission. And a day or two before the recording, my own meditation teacher happened to be there, which was lucky for me in a billion zillion ways. So we're walking around this retreat building and I told him this was going to happen. We're going to go into the space where we actually have not been given the practice that is done in that space. How can we do this recording with wires and shoes and all sorts of things that aren't normally in this precious space? How can we make this recording well without, you know, disturbing the juju, for lack of a better word? And he said, oh, it's simple. You just make offerings, request blessings, and dedicate the merit. So that's something that I've thought about now in the intervening 15 plus years, countless times. And these are the instructions that I want to offer you for keeping your practice rooted in the sacred, which doesn't mean rooted in the woo-woo or rooted in the, I don't know what, ethereal. It means rooted in depth. These are the three suggestions. We're going to look at them one by one. The first two, make offerings and request blessings, you do within yourself before you practice. And then you do your practice, whether it's 5 minutes or 5 years, whatever it is, cool. You do your practice, and then you do the third step, which is called dedicate the merit. So let's unpack this. What is this first step? Request blessings. Well, if you are a religious person, whatever your religion is, you know exactly how to do this. You request the blessings of your teachers, of your gods, of your lineage, of your school. There are beings, great teachers, known to you, unknown to you, living, passed on, who you are connected to. If you are a Christian, you may request the blessings of Jesus Christ. If you are Jewish, you could request the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If you are a Buddhist, you request the blessings of your teachers and their teachers and their teachers, the entire lineage. But your lineage does not have to be confined to spiritual figures. Because even though I may not know you, I know that you are connected to lineage or lineages because you didn't get here in a vacuum. There are things that are important to you, that you treasure, that you value, that you aspire to, that you admire. The beings that exemplify those things that you aspire to or admire, those people are your lineage, whether you ever met them or not. Because if they weren't, you would not feel this heart connection or longing or wish to be like or willingness to emulate. You wouldn't feel any of those things unless you already had the heart connection. So for some of us, we may be of the lineage of artists, poets, musicians, and there are artists, poets, musicians that you think are the greatest. Great. Make note of that. You may be of the lineage of mothers and fathers. Parenting may be your most profound undertaking. And so there may be other parents who you aspire to emulate. You could be of the lineage of people who live in your neighborhood, and you really identify with, this is my neighborhood, this is my community. You could be of the lineage of Italian Americans or gardeners or activists, or the lineage of people who have no lineage. there's something that you are connected to, and that something has lineage figures, great beings. They could be just normal, ordinary beings, like your parents, or they could be extraordinary beings, like gods or goddesses. Excellent. Those are your lineages. So for me, you may have heard me say this before, I am a longtime Buddhist practitioner, 27 years almost. And so I practiced in Tibetan Buddhist lineages. So when I sit down to practice, it's a formal opening. I offer chants. I'm saying offer in quotation marks, not chants, that are meant to evoke those lineage figures. And you literally say their names. Great Vajradhara, Tilo, Naro, Marpa, Mila, Lord of Dharma, Gampopa, etc., and so forth. These things mean something to me. They don't have to mean anything to you. But the names you recite in your heart or out loud must mean something to you. So I think of my Buddhist teachers and their lineages. And I also think of my Eastern European relatives, of which I am 100% of that lineage. And I have grandparents who I never met and great-grandparents who I never met, but I feel connected to that lineage. There are artists and writers who I feel like those are the best. So I try to imagine all of them with me as I begin my practice. I make an offering to them, which is, hi. That's basically the offering. I'm here. I don't know what I could do that's helpful, but I hold your lineage. For better and for worse, and I offer myself to this lineage and to this practice. Now, parenthetically, if you go to a church or a retreat center, there's usually a table like this one up front, and there's things on it, candles and pictures and so on, and those are meant to be offerings. They usually evoke the sense perceptions, something that looks beautiful or smells beautiful or so on. So you can have something like this as your offering table. I light the candles personally before I practice. They're lit as I speak. But you don't have to have that. The best offering is you. How I feel right now. So when I think, okay, how do I feel right now? I feel a little tired. I feel excited to be sharing this with you because I found it so useful. I feel this sense of urgent responsibility, like, I hope I'm doing my own teachers proud, and so forth and so on. So there's these various streams of things that I happen to feel right now. That's the best offering to your lineage. And that's the first step. And the second step, naturally, is request their blessings. So make offerings, request blessings. So here you have established some sort of sense that your lineage figures, the beings you most esteem are with you. In some energetic way, they're not like really here, or maybe they are, I don't know. But in some energetic way, that they're in my heart. So now I ask for their blessings. It's a very simple thing. It doesn't have to be long. It's just, I hold your lineage. There's a line in a chant I do that says, grant your blessings so that I will follow your example. So something very simple like that. I've made an offering, the contents of my heart, and now I'm asking my lineage is to bless me, and I don't know what that is going to look like, but I request your support, I request your help, I request your presence, I request guidance, because I know how puny I am. I'm not saying that to be humble. I actually know that there is wisdom so far beyond my own. And when I request blessings, I request a visit from that wisdom. So you can do the same. It's just a little gesture inside, and you can use whatever words you want. I hold your lineage, grant your blessings, or please help me. Thank you, whatever you might want to say. And then you do your practice, which we're going to do in a moment. And then the final step is called dedicate the merit, M-E-R-I-T, which means you rouse some sense, a kind of a little flash of recollection of what was my practice like. It was peaceful. It was boring. It was busy. It was irritating. It was all of those, none of those. And you rouse this sense of, once again, offering. I give my practice so that it can benefit others. I dedicate the merit. Doesn't mean my practice was great or horrible. It just means I did it. And I dedicate that doing of it so that it can benefit not just me, but all beings. So in this little moment after your practice, you say something like, may my practice benefit all beings. Or I hope this practice can help others too. Just something very, very simple. So those are the three steps on keeping the practice rooted in spiritual transformation, not only self-improvement, which I'm sure you're already working quite hard at. I know I am. Make offerings, request blessings, do your practice, dedicate the merit. So if you choose to try this, I would love to hear your thoughts and how it goes and what you do and how it feels. And don't hesitate to leave a comment. And it would also be fascinating to hear who is your lineage or lineages. I'd love to meet them. So thank you for listening. I hope this was useful. And let's sit together. So if you're up for it, begin your practice by making an offering. Just offer something from your heart to your practice. I'm doing it right now. And if you feel so inclined, request blessings. If this is all too fast, don't worry about it, but request the blessings of your teachers, of your lineage, of your heart friends. Imagine them here with you. And ask them to love you, basically. And now we'll sit. Begin by establishing your posture. You can be seated on the floor with your legs crossed loosely in front of you. It's also fine to sit in a chair or on the sofa with your feet flat on the floor. And let the hands rest palms down, just above the knee, somewhere that feels comfortable. And let yourself feel heavy from the waist down, rooted and firm, like immovable. And let yourself feel light from the waist up, uplifted and aspiring. Let the belly relax and let the shoulders relax. The mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth can be slightly parted. And the mouth is closed because you don't have to talk. So please enjoy the delight of nothing asked of you right now. You can fall silent. The breath is natural in and out through the nose. Meaning no breathing technique, just you already know how to breathe. So please continue. The eyes are open in this practice and the gaze is cast down to a spot in front, up to 6 feet or 2.5 meters or less, depending on the distance of your screen. But basically the eyes are soft and the gaze is cast down. And we're not trying to hold on to anything through the eyes. Just let the eyes be soft with a sense of receiving whatever is in front rather than seeking something in whatever is in front. You can almost imagine that your eyeballs sit back a little bit in the sockets nothing to reach for. And if you're visually impaired, you can do this through the ears. Let the ears rest in a state of openness. And let the forehead relax. Now let your attention rest on the breath, which means feel the body breathing. Rather than observe or notice the body breathing, feel. Feel what happens when you inhale and exhale. And let your attention again rest on this rhythm. The breath can carry you in the practice. Your mind will continue to make thoughts, which is fine. It's not a problem. Just like your ears continue to see, hear, or your eyes to see, your mind continues to think thoughts. There's no point in saying, stop that. Rather, let your thoughts be as they are. Nothing to do. The great majority will just come and go on their own, like little lights that light up and go out. Nothing to do with those thoughts. However, if you notice that you've become absorbed in a line of thought, meaning you don't have any more attention on the breath, you've lost connection to the breath, you spaced out the breath. That's also great. No problem. You just woke up. So when you notice you're lost in thought, not every little thought, but just when you're lost, notice that. Label that moment silently thinking. Let go. Doesn't matter if the thought is important or violent or beautiful or hilarious, just let go. Gently come back to this breath and resume feeling the body breathe in and out. And it doesn't matter how often you have to do that, please believe me. So this is our practice, and we'll sit together in silence until you hear the bell. Let's close our practice by dedicating the merit, by offering whatever arose, whatever, so that it and your practice, my practice, would benefit all beings. And remember, all beings includes you, so it's not all beings except you. So just let go. Offer the benefits of your practice to all beings in whatever way feels right to you. Thank you so much for your practice. Thank you for practicing with me, and thank you for practicing together. It means everything. So thank you.